How's it, everyone? Thank you for tuning into The Balanced Mind. I hope you had a great week and you are ready for another episode with me, Dion Bicycle. So last week we talked about mistakes in general, how we process failure in our careers and how we deal with everyday missteps and how we cope with the quiet frustration of not living up to our own expectations. But this week, we are taking a much more personal approach. We are bringing the conversation home today. So we're talking about mistakes inside a relationship, and more importantly, how we actually deal with them when the dust settles and the room goes quiet. It is one thing to make a mistake in isolation, isn't it? When you mess up on your own, you only have to hold space for your own disappointment. You can process it at your own speed, rationalizing it in your own head, or quietly fix it behind closed doors before anyone even notices. But when you are in relationship, a mistake is never contained to just one person. The moment you step into a relationship, your lives become intertwined. Your actions have ripple effects. Your choices touch another person's heart, their security, their trust, and their sense of peace. And that changes the mistakes completely. Let's be honest right out the gate. Nobody enters a loving relationship with a master plan to hurt the person they care about. Nobody wakes up in the morning, looks at their partner pouring a cup of coffee, and thinks to himself, you know what, how can I completely break this person's trust today? That is really how people operate. We enter relationships with the best of intentions. We want to love, we want to support, and we want to build something lasting. But we also enter relationships as fully human, inherently imperfect individuals. We have faults. We bring our past baggage with us. We bring our unhealed wounds, our coping mechanisms, our defensive habits, our stress levels, and our deeply buried blind spots with into the relationship. Because we are human, mistakes aren't just a possibility in a relationship, they are absolute mathematical certainty. If you stay with someone long enough, you will eventually hurt them, and they will eventually hurt you. The question has never been whether or not mistakes will happen. The question is the life or death question for any partnership is, what do we do in a moment after a mistake occurs? Now, before we talk about how we handle these moments, we have to acknowledge that mistakes in the relationships happen on a massive, complex spectrum. We can't treat every misstep as if it carries the exact same weight. On one end of the spectrum, you have the everyday human slip-ups. These are the low-stakes friction points of living a shared life is when you forgot an important errand your partner asked you to run. You made an impulsive financial decision without checking it first. Or maybe you had a brutal day at work. You walked through the front door exhausted, let your temper get the better of you, and said something sharp, dismissive, or unfair. These slip-ups cause friction, absolutely. They sting, they hurt. They require an apology and a reset, but generally, they don't threaten the core structure of the home you've been building together. Then you move further down the spectrum, and on the far end, you find the mistakes that don't just create friction, they cause seismic activity. They shake the very foundation of the floor you stand on. We're talking about the broken promises, the hidden text, the long-term financial secrecy, the emotional or physical betrayals, the deep deception where you look at your partner and realize you haven't been giving them the truth, but an edited, sanitized version of the reality. These are the moments where your partner looks at you across the room and asks the most painful question a person can ask when they're in love. Who are you? And who have I actually been standing next to all this time? Whether a mistake is a tiny slip up or a massive breach, almost all of us fall into the exact psychological trap the moment we realize we crossed the line. And that is also creates the feeling of fear. The second we realize we've dropped the ball or caused harm, a wave of panic sets in. Our natural human self-preservation instincts kicks into overdrive. The brain starts wiring off alarm bells. Something like this. You might get thoughts like this. If they found out the whole truth, they will be furious. Or if they see how badly I messed up, they'll look at me completely different. Also, you have thought saying, if I'm totally transparent, they might leave me. Underneath the panic is a core terrible belief. And that is, if my partner sees my flaws, I will no longer be worthy of their love. So what do most of us do in that state of panic? We try to protect ourselves, right? We engage in what I call damage control. We hide the evidence. We minimize the impact. We say things like, it wasn't a big deal, or, ach no man, you're just overreacting. We tell half-truths, giving our partner just enough information to satisfy their questions while keeping the heavy, uncomfortable details buried in the dark. We try to rewrite history, make excuses, or shift the blame back onto them. Well, I only did it because you were so distant lately. Is some of the excuses we give our partners, don't we? We all do this because we think we are protecting the relationship, but in reality, we are only protecting our own ego. We are protecting ourselves from the uncomfortable consequence of standing in the light and admitting, you know what? I messed up. I failed. So here is the central truth we have to face on the balanced mind today. The original mistake might cause a crack in the foundation of our relationship, but it is the cover-up, the defensiveness, and the lack of honesty that turns that crack into a total catastrophic collapse. Think about it for a moment. When your partner finds out about the mistake, the initial hurt comes from the act itself. But the lasting trauma, the poison that rots a relationship from the inside out, comes from the realization that they were lied to. It comes from the knowing that while they were placing their trust in you, you were actively working to keep them in the dark. When you hide a mistake, you deny your partner the right to informed consent. You deny them the right to know the truth of their own life and their own relationship. And once a person realizes they can't trust your word, every memory they have with you starts to feel questionable. They begin replaying the past, wondering what else wasn't real. That is why dishonesty is so destructive. The mistake is an event. The lie is the diamond. I want to repeat that quickly. Dishonesty is so destructive. The mistake is the event, what happened. But the lie creates climate. Isn't that something to remember? Admitting you have made a mistake isn't a sign of weakness. It isn't a character defect, and it doesn't mean you are fundamentally a bad person. In fact, total honesty in the face of a mistake is the very first act of true courage required to keep a relationship grounded in reality rather than an illusion. A relationship built on the edited version of who you are isn't real intimacy. It's just a performance. Real intimacy only begins when two people can bring their genuine flawed mistakes to the table and say, you know what, this is me and I failed in this, and own the truth, basically. Coming clean is the only starting line. It is never a finish line. Telling the truth doesn't instantly wipe the slate clean, and it doesn't automatically mean your partner owes you immediate forgiveness. Now, let's assume you've taken that scary first step. You decided not to hide. You brought the truth out onto the open. You sat down with your partner and said, you know what, I'm claiming this now. Yes, I messed up. And here is what happened. First of all, good. It takes genuine courage. But here is where many people fall into a second formal seatal trap. They believe that because they weren't brave enough to be honest, the hard part is over. They expect their honesty to act like immediate relief valve, a magic eraser that instantly wipes away the pain, resets the clock, and cleans the slate. They tell the truth, and then they quietly expect an award, or at least a quick pat on the back, and everything will go back to normal. But here is the hard reality we have to talk about today. Honesty is not a magic eraser. Honesty is simply the key that unlocks the room where the real work begins. When we confess a mistake to someone we love, there is often a hidden selfish motivation lurking under the surface. Psychologists refer to this as confessional relief, the overwhelming urge to discharge your own internal guilt by dumping the truth onto another person. When you carry a secret or you know you've done something wrong, the guilt feels heavy. It eats at your conscience. It makes your chest feel tight. So when you finally speak the truth, you experience a sudden wave of relief. The weight leaves your shoulders and your tightened chest opens up. But where does the weight go? It doesn't disappear into thin air. It lands squarely on the shoulders of your partner, of course. The moment you speak the truth, you drop a heavy emotional load onto the person you love. And if you immediately follow your confession with expectations like, well, I was honest with you and you are still mad, or I told you the truth, can't we just move past this now? You aren't actually practicing accountability here. You are practicing emotional dumping. Prominent clinical psychologist and author Dr. Harriet Lerner, a leading expert on apologies and reconciliations, points out that a sincere apology or confession must never demand forgiveness. Dr. Lerner emphasizes that the moment you think your honesty is an expectation of how the other person should react, your confession causes to be about repair and becomes about control. So it's not about repairing what you've done, it's about controlling it. When you demand immediate relief, you are asking a partner to comfort you for the distress you caused them. Wow. To understand how honesty doesn't immediately fix things, we have to look at what happens inside your partner's mind when a major truth comes to light. While you have known about the mistake for days, weeks, even months, your partner is hearing it for the very first time. You have already had the process about what you did. You rationalize it, you grieved about it, and prepare your words. Your partner has had 0 seconds to ponder about what happened. You rob that from them by not being honest. For you, the confession is the end of a stressful period of carrying a secret. Yes, but for your partner, the confession is the beginning of an emotional earthquake. In drama, words and relationship research, this experience is often referred to as betrayal trauma, a concept pioneered by the researcher Dr. Jennifer Freud. When someone you rely on for emotional safety breaches your trust, it shatters your internal map of reality. Your partner doesn't just feel hurt. Their nervous system enters a state of shock, confusion, and hypervigilance. They are processing multiple levels of grief all at once. Number one, they are grieving the act itself, what you actually did. Number two, they are grieving the time they spent in the dark, feeling like a fool and feeling deceived. Number three, they are grieving the safety they thought they had in a relationship. When you understand this, you realize how unfair it is to expect them to get over it just because you spoke the truth. Honesty gave them the truth, but it didn't instantly heal the wounds that the truth revealed. Very important as well. So, if honesty isn't a quick fix, what does real accountability look like in the aftermath of a mistake? It looks like patience. It looks like having an emotional maturity to sit in the discomfort of your partner's pain without trying to fix it, rush it, or defend yourself. When a partner is hurt by your mistakes, their natural reaction will include anger, sadness, questioning, and emotional distance. These are not signs that your honesty has failed. These are healthy, necessary responses of the human being processing harm. If you react to their anger with defensiveness, saying things like, "You know what, I didn't have to tell you," or if I knew you act like this, I would have never told you. Have you ever had that before? You are telling your partner that their feelings are a burden to you. You are communicating that you care more about your own comfort than their healing. A renowned couple therapist, Terry Real, founder of the Rational Life Institute, talks extensively about what he calls rational mindfulness. Real explains that true repair requires you to step out of your defensiveness self and hold space for your partner's reality. It means looking at your partner in their anger or grief and saying to yourself, "I caused this pain, and I am strong enough to stand here and listen to it without making it about me. Holding space means answering their questions, even the hard, uncomfortable ones, with gentleness rather than irritation. It means accepting that trust, once broken, operates on a completely different timeline than truth. Truth takes a second speak. Trust takes months or years of quiet consistency to rebuild. Here is the key shift we need to make when we think about honesty after a mistake. Honesty isn't a get out of free card that wipes away consequences. Honesty is the willingness to accept the consequence with grace, humility, and steady presence. When you own a mistake with your genuine grace, you don't ask for a free pass. You don't try to negotiate the boundary. You don't rush the timeline. Instead, you say, "I understand why you are hurt. I understand why you don't trust me right now. I am not going anywhere. I am not going to demand that you feel better on my schedule. I am here to do whatever it takes to help you feel safe again." That kind of response changes everything. It takes the pressure off your partner, lowers their defensive walls, and demonstrate that you are actually safe enough to handle the truth of their heart. Owning the fallout with grace is tough work. It requires us to lay down our ego, to swallow our pride and tolerate the discomfort of seeing the impact of our choices. But once the truth is out, and once we've allowed space in the initial emotional storm to pass, a crucial question emerges. Where do we go from here? How do two people actually move from the weight of accountability into the active, collaborative repair? Welcome back to The Balanced Mind. My name is Dion Bicycle, and if you just joined us, today we are tackling one of the most challenging dynamics in any relationship. That is navigating mistakes with genuine honesty. We looked at how fear often drives us to cover up our missteps. We confronted the hard truth that honesty isn't a magic eraser. Telling the truth doesn't mean you get a fast-forward past to fall out or dictate how long your partner needs to heal. So where does this leave us then? The truth is out on the table. The initial emotional shockwaves has hit. The pain, anger, or disappointment has been expressed. Now comes the defining fork in the road for every couple. That is the moment where many relationships get stuck in a toxic, repetitive loop of blame, or if both people are willing, it becomes the exact moment where the true repair begins. So, we are going to talk about the pivot point. How to shift the dynamic away from a defensive battle of me versus you and turn it into a collaboration partnership of us versus the problem. When a mistake is brought into the light, our ego's primary survival mechanism is defensiveness. Even when we know how our we are 100% wrong, the moment your partner expresses their hurt, something inside us flares up. We want to explain ourselves. We want to qualify our actions. We hear their pain as an attack on our character, and so we rise our shields and start throwing counter arguments back over the wall. We say things like, you know what, I said I was sorry. Oh, what more do you want from me? Or what about, well, I wouldn't have done that if you hadn't been distant lately. We shift the blame. You've made plenty of mistakes as well. Why are you only talking about mine? Can you see how you keep on shifting the blame to them? Psychologists call this counter-attacking or whataboutism. And it is one of the quickest ways to destroy safety in a relationship. In his famous research on relationships longevity, Dr. John Gottman identifies defensiveness as one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The four communication habits that predict relationship failure with starting accuracy. Gottman found that defensiveness is essentially a way of blaming your partner. It sends a clear message. The problem isn't me, the problem is you. When you react to your mistake with defensiveness, you force your partner into an adversarial position. You are telling them, to prove my choice was understandable, I have to prove your feelings are wrong. And suddenly, you are no longer two people who love each other, trying to fix the leak in your lifeboat. You are two people punching holes on opposite sides and the hole to prove who made the bigger mistake. To pivot out of this defensive and into partnership, we have to adopt fundamental rule of emotional maturity. Impact always matters more than intent. When you make a mistake, your intent was likely not you weren't intend to do it. You didn't set out to harm them. You were stressed, confused, weak, maybe overwhelmed or even foolish. But your partner isn't experiencing your intent. They are living with the impact of their actions. Imagine walking through a room and accidentally stepping onto your partner's foot. They cry out in pain. Would you turn around and argue, why are you yelling? I didn't mean to step on your foot. You shouldn't be hurting. Of course not. That would be absurd. You would immediately check on them, apologize, and offer some comfort. Because regardless of your intention, their foot still hurts. Yet in the emotional matters, we do this all the time. We put a big destructive word in the middle of our apologies with the word but. In other words, it sounds like this. I'm sorry I lied to you, but you were being harsh lately. I'm sorry I spent the money, but you spent money and hurt me as well. I'm sorry I spent the money, but I thought we had enough. The moment you put a but after an apology, you erase the full apology. You shift the focus away from their hurt and put it back onto your justification. Renowned family therapist and author Dr. Sue Johnson, the creator of emotionally focused therapy, notes that deep emotional repair can only happen when a partner feels genuinely heard and validated. Dr. Johnson research shows that when you drop your justifications and validate your partner's pain, saying simply things like, I see how much this hurt you and I'm really sorry, the nervous system physically calms down. De-escalation begins the moment they realize they don't have the fight you just to get you to see their pain. So, how do we actually make a pivot from the argument into a collaboration partnership? Well, it starts by mentally redesigning the room you are standing in. In a defensive argument, the layout is partner A versus partner B, with the mistake sitting right between you like a weapon. Every time someone speaks, they are shooting across the table at the other person. In a collaboration repair, you step around to the same side of the table. The layout becomes partner A and partner B side by side, looking at the problem together from the same perspective. You stop asking, how do I win this argument and defend my pride? You must rather ask, what broke down between us and how can we fix it together? This requires replacing defensiveness with curiosity and actionability or actionable ownership. Instead of saying it wasn't that bad, you shift the active curiosity and you say, help me to understand what was most painful for you about what I did. I want to make sure I truly understand your point of view. And instead of offering a passive apology like, you know what, I'm sorry and I feel that way, I'm sorry you feel that way, and move into this repair, don't do that. I'll say, I made a choice that broke your trust. Here are the specific steps I am taking right now to ensure I never put us in this position again. Can you see the difference? The first approach forces your partner to defend their boundaries, and the second approach shows your partner that you are actively protecting the relationship with the boundaries for both of you, not just for you who made the mistake. Remember, it's for both of you. Making this pivot isn't just the responsibility of the person who made the mistake. It also requires something from the partner receiving the truth. If you are the partner who was hurt, creating space for collaboration doesn't mean minimizing what happened or giving up your boundaries. It means choosing to accept the behavior, not the human being. It honestly is met with immediately a permanent humiliation or character assassination. Honesty will eventually stop showing up in your home. Collaboration requires a safe harbor, a shared argument that even when we are deeply hurt, we are fighting for our relationship, not to destroy one another. As the old saying goes, you can either be right or you can be in a relationship. Choosing relationship means deciding that repair is more important than winning. We have traveled a long road in today's episode. We've started by looking at the human reality of making mistakes and the fear that causes so many of us to hide them. We confronted the hard truth that honesty isn't a magic eraser that instantly wipes away all the fallout. And in our last segment, we looked at how to drop our defensive shields, step around to the same side of the table, and shift from me versus you to us versus a problem. Now we reach the final stage, most essential chapter of our conversation today. Once the truth is out, once the emotions have been held with grace, and once defensiveness has been laid down, how do we actually rebuild our relationship? How do two people take a relationship that has been shaken by a mistake, a lie, or a broken promise, and construct something solid, safe, and everlasting? So welcome to the architecture of trust. When couples experience a major rupture in trust, their most common desire is simply to get back to the way things once were. It's a completely understandable wish. We long for the comfort, the ease, and innocence of the relationship before the storm hits. But here is the honest truth. You cannot go back to the way things were. And frankly, you shouldn't want to go back. The relationship you had before was the very environment in which the mistake occurred. It had its own blind spots, unexamined passions, hidden resentments, and unspoken fears. Trying to go back to the old relationship is like trying to rebuild a house using the exact same flawed blueprints that allowed it to collapse in the first place. Renowned psychologist Dr. Janice Springs, an international authority on trust recovery and author of After the Affair, explains the genuine healing after a betrayal or breach does not mean restoring the old relationship. Instead, Dr. Springs notes that successful couples learn to build a second relationship with the exact same person. You have to let the old imperfect version of yourself go so that you can consciously design a new one. One built on total transparency, clearer boundaries, and a far deeper understanding of each other's humanity. But how do you exactly build this new foundation? Many people think that trust is restored through a grand, dramatic gestures, expensive trips, sweeping promises, or emotional speeches. But research tells us the exact opposite. Trust is rarely restored in micro gestures. It is built in the quiet, unglamorous micro moments of daily life. Sociologist and author Dr. Brené Brown uses a wonderful metaphor to trust called the marble jar. Imagine a glass jar. Every time someone makes a small choice that shows they care or that shows consistently or honestly, one marble goes into a jar. Every time they hide something, break a promise, or show up defensively, a handful of marbles gets taken out. Rebuilding trust after mistakes means constantly putting marbles back into their jaw, one single interaction at a time, over a long period. It looks like this. Unprompted transparency, which means telling your partner where you are, who you're with, or what you are doing, even before they even ask the question. You also get flawless flows through. That is doing exactly what you said you would do. When you said you would do it, even with small things like running an errand or making a phone call. Then we get emotional accessibility. Checking in on your partner's heart on an ordinary Tuesday morning. Asking, you know what, how are you feeling today? Without waiting for a crisis to force the conversation. In this extensive work with couples, Dr. John Gottman calls these moments bits for connection. Gottman research shows that long-term trust isn't the grand emotional state. It is the cumulative result of turning towards your partner in thousands of tiny everyday interactions. When you show up constantly in the small moments, your partner's nervous system slowly learns the new lesson. And that is, you know what? You are safe right now. Their words match their actions. I can let my guard down again. There is something profoundly beautiful that happens to a relationship when two people successfully navigate a mistake with total honesty and accountability. A relationship that has never been tested is like a ship that has only ever sailed in calm, glassy waters. It looks pristine, but nobody actually knows how strong the hull is, the structure of the boat. It's easy to feel connected when everything is smooth, peaceful, and convenient. But a relationship that has faced the storm, weathered the damage, brought honesty to the cracks, and chosen to rebuild together, that relationship possesses something far more valuable than perfection. It possesses resilience. When you survive a real-world mistake together, you gain proven evidence that your love is a fragile, superficial agreement. You prove to each other that when life gets messy, when mistakes happen, or when the floor drops, you won't run away, hide behind lies, or destroy each other. You will stand in the truth, do the hard work of repair, and come out stronger on the other side. Deep, unshakable trust isn't the absence of mistake. It's the absolute certainty that when things break, honesty and love will show up to rebuild. So as we wrap up today's episode on the balanced mind, I want to leave you with this final thought. If you are listening to this today and you are the person who made a mistake, big or small, stop running. Drop the excuses, lay down the cover-up, and find the courage to bring the full truth to the light. Honesty will be uncomfortable, and the consequences may be heavy, but truth is the only soil in which real love can grow. And if you are the partner who was hurt, remember that healing takes time. You are allowed to feel what you feel. Set your boundaries and demand genuine, constant action before you place your trust back in someone's hands. Mistakes do not have to be the end of the story. When met with transparent honesty, deep accountability, and a willingness to step around to the same side of the table, a mistake can become the very turning point where a real, resilient, and authentic partnership truly begins. Thank you so much for spending your valuable time with me today here on The Balanced Mind. If today's episode resonated with you, if you are currently navigating a tough transition in your relationship, or if you feel stuck trying to rebuild trust and communication in your own life, you won't have to walk that path alone. I would love to connect with you directly. You can reach out to me on the Dion Bicycle page on Facebook, or you can just give me a call or send me a WhatsApp on 061-588-0651. I would love to hear from you and listen to your story to see how we can rebuild trust, we can work on forgiveness, or we can talk together on how we're going to put a relationship back together if that is what you want. But until next time, keep your communication honest, hold space for your shared humanity, and keep living with a balanced mind. Take care, stay grounded. Cheers for now. See you in the next one.